So today we begin the ninth parak of Maseches Ksubos. We've learned, already we've seen this many times, a concept called Nichse Malog. Now the word Malog literally means plucked, like to pluck feathers off of a chicken. Nichse Malog, possessions that lend themselves to being plucked, because it's a reference to those assets that a wife owns. Could have been her father owned real estate, he died, she inherited the real estate. The real estate was not written into the ksuba, so the keren, the principal, the guf, has to be hers, but the husband is entitled to the revenue that comes out of those nechasim, in return for the fact that Chazal instituted that were she to be taken captive, he's obligated to ransom her. So as Rashi will explain in Amud Beis, there are three aspects to Nichse Malog. One is that during the lifetime of the wife, the husband gets the revenue that comes out of the Nichse Malog. So if it's a field and there are things growing in the field, he would get the fruits. If it's a building and there are rent payments for the apartments in the building, he gets the rent payments. That's number one. He gets the payros of Nichse Malog. Number two, if she dies, he inherits the Nichse Malog. Then they become his. Then he gets the building itself, the field itself. He inherits the guf. And number three, the third aspect of Nichse Malog, is that if she decides she wants to sell them, he can stop her, while they're married, from selling them. Because he has rights. He has payros rights. He has ultimate inheritance rights. And therefore, he can prevent the sale of Nichse Malog. These are the three aspects that our daf is going to deal with about Nichse Malog. So the Mishnah begins. Yes. For sure. Our learning is Lili Nishmasho Gershon Ben Chaim Shmuel, and for Moshe Ben Machluf. So the Mishnah teaches like this: Hakosev l'ishto, if a man writes to his wife, the following terminology, and what the terminology means is another topic that the Gemara will deal with. Dinu dvarim ein li b'nechasayach. Neither a claim nor a complaint. Neither a legal claim, a din, nor dvarim, nor getting into a fight. You know, I have nothing on what you own. What is yours, I've got no claims. Dinu dvarim ein li b'nechasayach. So what does that mean? So does it mean that he now has no connection to her nechse malog? It means the following. Hareza ochel peros b'chayeha. The law of Nichse Malog, of getting the revenue from the Nichse Malog, he didn't give that up. He's still entitled to the fruits from what she owns as long as she's alive. Imesa, if she would die, Yorsha, he would still inherit the Nichse Malog. Imkain, if so, Lama Kasav Ladin Advar Me'la Ben Chasayach. In what way is he saying, I've surrendered my claims and complaints on your possessions? I have no claims and complaints on your possessions. He only meant something in regards to the third halacha. Sheimacha v'nasna, if she were to sell or to gift away the Nichse Malog, kayam, her sale or gift would work. That's halacha number three in Nichse Malog, that a wife can't sell the possessions. That he's saying, I don't have any claim. If you sell the possessions, no claims. The sale worked. What happens if he wrote a little bit more? Kasavla wrote her din udvarim ainli, neither a claim nor a complaint I don't have. Bin nechasayich, in your possessions, ube peirosehen, and in the fruits that come out of your possessions. So that means areza eino ochel peiros bechayeha. That means that even when she's alive, he's not entitled to the peiros of the nichse malog, because he says ainli, I have no claim in the payros. The imesa, but if she were to die, Yorsha, he would inherit the Nichse Malog. He would inherit the Nichse Malog still.
Now she can give matana to somebody else before the nisuin?
No, after the nisuin. Well, that's the point. Normally she can't. because of his rights, but he surrendered his rights. He wrote Dinu Dvarim Ainli. I have no claim on what yours is yours. Yeah, he wrote it. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, La'olam ochel peirei peiros. He would, though, be able, he's always able to get the benefits of the fruits of the fruits. Unless he writes to her, Dinu Dvarim, I don't have a claim nor a complaint. Ainli bin Chasayich, I don't have it in your possessions, in your Nechasim. Ube Peiroseyen, and in the fruit that grows out of your Nechasim. Ube Peire Peiroseyen, and in the fruit of the fruit of the Nechasim. Ad Olam, forever. Third case, Kasavla, if he wrote to her, Dinu Dvarim, neither a complaint nor a claim. Ainli, I will not have bin a chasayich in your possessions. Ube peiro sehen. And in their fruits. Ube peire peiro sehen. And in the fruits of the fruits. Bichayech, during your lifetime. Ube moseich. And in your, after you pass, I don't have any claims. Then he's surrendering more than just the ability to stop a sale. Eino ochel peiros pechayeha. He doesn't even get the fruits during when she's alive. Ve'emeisan, if she dies, he doesn't inherit her. Eino yorsha. And he's not entitled to block a sale. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, even if he spelled out, I'm not entitled to anything, I have no claims. Nevertheless, in Mesa, if a wife dies, Yershena, he would inherit the Nichsei Malog. Why? Because with this condition, he's really making a t'nai against something that explicitly the Torah said. Anyone who makes a t'nai against what the Torah says, t'na'o batel. The t'nai is batel. So what we have here in the Mishnah, at least according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is a difference between the nechasim themselves and the fruit that grows out of the nechasim. Again, if a woman has property, that's her property, a wife has property, the nichsei malog, property that's going to be plucked because the fruit will be taken by the husband, so like feathers taken off of the chicken, fruit is taken off of the property, that's why it's called nichsei malog. It's only a din derabanan that the husband is entitled to the peiros, as we've learned. The rabbis instituted that he gets the fruits of the nichsei malog because they've made certain obligations upon him. Since that's only a din derabanan, on a din derabanan, a person can make a condition, a t'nai, that they're forgiving the din derabanan, and I'm marrying her on condition that there won't be this din derabanan. And then that t'nai is kayam. However, a din d'oraisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, ain't on the masna mashikasa batorah. A person can't make a t'nai to, based on that t'nai, that there shouldn't be a din d'oraisa. For example, there's a din d'oraisa, she'erab tsusav onasa lo yigra. That a husband needs to give his wife clothing, he needs to give his wife food. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he couldn't say, okay, marry me on condition I don't give you food. He can't do that, because Hashem said he has to give her food. So the same thing, he's going to say, I'm marrying you, but I'm agreeing to the condition that I'm not going to inherit you. He can't, because according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the ability of, or the rights of the husband to inherit his wife, that's a din d'oraisa. And Gemara Baba Basra learns it from the Pasuk, Ki imlish eroa karov elav mishpachto v'yarash ota, he will inherit her. He will inherit her means that a husband inherits his wife, mito right on a biblical level. So since that's biblical, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that this t'nai of the dinu dvar mein li alecha alayich cannot take effect. It would be the same issue, exactly, right? If you hold like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, an ein adam masna mashakasa batorah, that a person can't make a t'nai against what the Torah gave, so a Bechor would not be able to give away Pishnayim, correct?
What's the difference in the wording between Ad Olam and Bichayecha v'Meisacha? To me, Bichayecha v'Meisacha is Ad Olam.
Well, there's a difference in the following. We talk about peros. Peros. So what would peros be? She owns, let's say, a piece of real estate. So the peros of that piece of real estate are the rent payments of the tenants. To take those rent payments and to use them to buy another piece of real estate and then get rent payments from that piece of real estate would be peros. To do that yet again would be peros. So ad olam is eternally in terms of that, in terms of all the reinvestment of peros, or the replanting of peros. B'chayech uv'moseich is whether you are alive or whether you're dead, even in terms of Yerusha. There's one thing that he's surrendering his rights to the fruits, or to what the fruits will produce, or to that which is produced from the fruits. That's ad olam, that's forever. B'chayech uv'moseich means whether you are alive, when we're talking about fruits, or v'moseich, when you're dead, when we're talking about the principle, inheriting the Nechzeh Malok itself, inheriting that first piece of, that first building, I am, you know, forgiving that.
But Rabbi, if he buys another building from the rental of this property here, then he has a right to sell that property if he wants to. That's all his, right? Because the money came in from the rental, which he had a right to.
I don't think so. I think it becomes Nechzeh Malog. I'm not sure he can sell it.
That's the fruit. It was from the fruit that he had.
Yeah, but now it's something. Now it's real estate. Real estate is hers.
I know, but original real estate is hers.
But I think also derivative real estate becomes real estate.
Well, it becomes real estate.
Rabbi,
yeah.
The question was
really
to clarify this question. I don't remember if we learned it. There is, let's assume there is a lot of peril. I don't mean peril, to be through rent or through really fruit of a big sadeh. He can just use what he need for this, for what he need for this year, and the other money, he must buy real estate. He must buy real estate, or he can keep it as a cash.
No, he doesn't have to buy real estate.
He doesn't have to.
He can put it in the bank.
So he is allowed to use it.
Yeah.
Oh.
He can benefit from it, yeah.
Okay.
Says the Gemara, Tani Reb Chiya taught in this Mishnah that Ha'omer L'Ishto, that he didn't read it as a person wrote to his wife, I have no claims to your possessions, which we said means only he has no claims to prevent the sale. But he even if he didn't write it, he just said it. He just said, you know, I don't have any claims on your possessions, so that means he's surrendering his ability to block a sale. So the Gemara says, really? The whole Mishnah doesn't make sense. You're saying that the Mishnah applies even when it's not a ksiva. Even if it would be a ksiva, we don't understand the Mishnah. Even if you read the Mishnah the way we have it, not the way Reb Chiya read it. Hakosev l'ishto. Person writes to his wife, dinu dvarim ein li alayach. Why should that be significant? That terminology is not precise enough. V'atani, didn't we learn in a braisa? Ha'om l'chaveiro, let's say we're partners. Michael and I are partners in a field. And I write to Michael a document that says, Dinudvar Ainli Al Sadazu, I've got no claims against you about this field. Or I write, Ainli Asikba, I'm not involved in the field anymore. Or I write, Yadi Mesuleka Saimena, my hand is out of the field. Lomar Klom, I'm still a partner. To not be a partner, I have to say, I'm giving it to you as a matana, because I owned it. I'm giving it to you as a gift. Say, I'm out. That's not a Kenyan. So the Gemara asks, what's going on in our Mishnah? If the Braisa says that if you claim to a partner, anim sulak, I'm out, that doesn't mean an acquisition. So here, what is accomplished by the husband telling his wife, listen, I'm not involved in your nechasim. Mishnah says, okay, you're not involved in what? Smallest thing. It's not involved in blocking a sale. What do you mean he's not involved? It means nothing. You have to say, I'm giving you your nechassim. But if he just said, I'm not involved, that lashon, that terminology, shouldn't have any import. So Amri de Bei Rav Yanai. So they answered in the yeshiva of Rav Yanai, there's a difference. In the case that I gave, Michael and I were partners. We owned the field. There was a corporation. It said, Michael and Zev are partners in a field. But, so then I owned something. Once I owned it, and it was known that I owned it, and I say, I'm out. The words, I'm out, don't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. However, here the husband doesn't own anything yet. He didn't own anything yet. It's money that she's going to bring in. It's a right that he's going to get. Why? Because they love old Arusa. When she's only an Arusa to him, that's when he says, listen, when you come in, I'm not going to have a claim on your property. So that's something else. It's not that there you don't need the Lashonos. You don't need the terminology of a matana, of a gift.
He didn't have it yet.
If somebody has something, so then we learned in a brisa for him to say, I'm out, doesn't mean anything. He has to say, I'm giving it to you, it's a matana to you. Just to say, I'm out, that's not a way to lose something. But when money is coming in, he can say, I'm out. So then the money never came in. That's different. So here it's because of Oda Arusa. Kid Rav Kahana, like Rav Kahana taught. I'm Rav Kahana said, Nachla haba la'adam mimakom acher. If a person has an inheritance coming to him from another place, in other words, it's, let's say, he's marrying his wife, and because he's marrying his wife, he's going to get her possessions. Adam masna la, a person can make a condition about it, shalo yirshana, that he shouldn't inherit it. Ukudirava. To Amar Rava, as Rava said, Haomer Yivshi Mitzakonas Chachamim, a person who says, you know what, I don't want the Din D'Rabbanim. I don't want the rabbinic law that they made for my benefit. Kagonzu, like in this case, Shomen Lo, we do listen to him and we accept that he doesn't have the rights to that rabbinic law. My Kagonzu, what do you mean like this? Kidrav Huna, like the law of Rav Huna. We know, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, that a woman gets food from her husband in return for the fact that her wages go to her husband. And Rav Huna Marav, Dom Rav Huna Marav, Yechol Yisha Shetoma, a woman can tell her husband, Yechol Yisha Shetoma Labayla, in Nizonas, you know what, I make a lot of money. I'm, a senior executive at some big bank,
Goldman Sachs.
I'm making a lot of money. And you know what? I'd rather not get your food and let me keep my paycheck. I don't want to hand over the paycheck of several hundred thousand dollars. What's food? It's several tens of thousands of dollars. Let me keep my paycheck and you keep your food. Enios. So the Gemara asks, one second. Ihachi, once we've come to this point, that we said that when there's a takana d'rabbanan, a person can say, I don't want the takana d'rabbanan, even though it's for my benefit, I don't want it. So, Yachi, why did you have to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case when she wasn't yet nesua? I feel a nesua nami. Even if she is nesua, the husband should be able to say, Chazal instituted that I get her nichse malog, both I get the payros from the nichse malog, and I inherit the nichse malog, and I can stop the sale of nichse malog. If she be takana schachamim, I don't want the takana that Chazal made for me, and I could surrender that. Amar Abai explained, no, the reason why he can't do that is nesua yado ki yada. Once she's nesua to him, then exactly, he owns it equally with her. He and she, in a certain way, are equal owners. Since they're equal owners, so it's like partners. Yado ki yada, his hand is like her hand. So it's like partners and partners, the terminology of dinu dvarim ainli, or yadi mesulekes, I'm out, doesn't mean anything. Now Rava said, when you talk about marriage, the husband's rights to the nichse malog are even more than a partner. Rava mar yado adifa miyada. The husband, he has more of a right in the nichse malog than the wife does. Now, what difference does it make whether we say a husband is equal to a wife or a husband is more than a wife? In Nichsimalog, Nafkamina, Le'inyin shomeres yavam. That's really not relevant to our sugya, to the terminology of dinu dvarim, but that has relevance, this argument between whether yado ki yado, yado adifa mi yada, this argument between Abaye and Rava has to do with shomeres yavam. That one second, that we learned that a shomeres yavam who inherits money while she's a shomeres yavam. So we learned the other day, last week, that if she dies, there's a question what happens to the ksuba. Beishamai, Beisilo say, you know, we follow whoever's a muhzak. Beishamai say that parts of the ksuba are actually divided. Mm-hmm. So Abaye said that referred to a case when she inherited those monies when she was still married to her husband. Because Abaye holds yado ki yada. And therefore, once she died, I'm sorry, once her husband died and she went into Yibum, if she then died before the Yibum, there is an equality between those who inherit her and those who replace her husband. And that's why, since there's an equality, it should be divided according to Beis Shammai and according to Beis Hillel, we follow a chazak. And Rava said, no, that if she had gotten the money when she was still married to her first husband, then yado adifa mi yada, the husband is more entitled to the money than she is, and therefore, when he then dies, his brother is now more entitled to the money than she, and when she dies, therefore, her yarshim wouldn't get any of the money, and the case of the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only when she got the money as a shomeres yavam. So that question, whether yado ki yada or yado adifa mi yada, really is not so relevant to the question of dinu dvarim. It's really a question in what do we say is the case of the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only in the case of a shomeres yavam who inherits while she's a shomeres yavam, or it's even in the case of the shomeres yavam who inherits when she was married to the mace. Okay, but bottom line is, going back to our sugya, the issue of dinu dvarim, we had said, how could the Mishnah say that dinu dvarim einli alayich is effective? We learned that in shutfin, dinu dvarim isn't effective. So the Gemara said, we're talking about a case of before the nisuin, and therefore it would be effective to say dinu dvarim einli alayich, because a person can give up, surrender privileges that Bezdin gave to him. So we said, well, if a person can surrender privileges, let him be able to surrender privileges even after Nisuin. The answer is no, even after Nisuin, at least he's a Shutif. At the very least, it's Yado Ki Yada. Maybe it's even more. Maybe it's Yado Adiva Mi Yada. So then, the terminology of Dinu Dvarim is not enough. The only terminology by which he could surrender rights would be a Matana, a gift. Yeah, question.
Just to verify, if he's Maskim, Yado Ki Yada, it's okay, correct?
What's that?
His maskim that she said, don't give me mezonot, I will have my mezonot. I don't take your mezonot.
Oh, if she agrees.
No, if he agreed with her, she said it. She said, I don't need your mezonot. I'm going to feed myself on what my parnasa.
Yeah, that's a separate halacha.
No, I'm saying, but if he say yes, it's okay. If he agree with her,
no. You have to agree.
If he doesn't agree, we know that she cannot do it. But if he agree with her, okay.
Well, in general, both sides agree, then it works, unless okay. It's a mas nal mashakasa batorah, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Ibailu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Kanu miyado mahu. What would the law be if we have partners? And I tell my partner, listen, I'm out of the partnership, but I didn't say I'm giving you my 50%. And kanu miyada, we actually did a kinyan, a maisa, you know, a chalipin, to indicate that I'm surrendering. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, no, but if I didn't yet say I'm giving you 50%, I said I'm not making a claim against you, which is meaningless. So now we have a chalipin. Chalipin means, okay, he meant what he said, but what he said is meaningless. So midinu dvarim kana miyada. Rav Nachman amar. Rav Nachman said no. Once he does a kinyan, migufa shel karka kana miyado. Once I do a kinyan, that shows that I'm actually giving away land, and now I'm out of the partnership, and my partner has it all.
And why does Rav Yosef say it doesn't work? He's doing a kinyan, he's doing a transfer.
Because he didn't say yet what the kinyan's about. Right? He says to his partner, I'm out. And then the partner says, okay, let's do a ma'isa kinyan.
Because
he used the wrong terminology. He uses the wrong terminology. He has to say, I'm giving you my rights. I'm giving you what I have. It's yours. It's a matana. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Mestabra milsadir of Yosef. I think of Yosef would be right, that even with the kinyan, when a partner tells his other partner, Dinu dvar mein li alecha, it's meaningless. Ba'orer, when that other partner... When I, the guy who said, I've got no claim, I'm making a whole ruckus when my partner walks into my 50% of the field. So, avul ba'omed. But if initially I didn't make a claim, I let him use the 50% of the field for a couple of days, and now I'm making a claim, but you know, I didn't mean it, I never said it was a gift, I only said, dinu dvar mein li alecha, I'm not going to make a claim. Then, migufa shel karka kanu. First of all, there was a kinyan, so we say it was a kinyan on the gufa shel karka. Yes?
That's a very good svara, because the whole idea that you have to make a kinyan, and it's not like American law where you just give the money, was instituted to show that there was actually a transaction and you can't back out.
Right.
And this is a perfect example. if at the moment...
He didn't say anything at the time.
Right.
And he made a kinyan.
And that's why we have kinyan. But if time went by, then the whole purpose for kinyan has already been accomplished.
That's right. Amar Abaye said, Amar Meimar said, Hilchasa, the halacha is that if a partner tells his partner, Dinu dvar mein li alecha, I've got no further claims against you. And then they do a maisa kinyan, they do a chalipin, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Megufa shel karka kanu miyado. That meant that he's really giving away 50%. He's not just trying to say, I'm not going to make a problem for you in court, which is really meaningless. Amalei Rav Ashi la Meimar. Rav Ashi said to Meimar, when do you say the halacha is this way? Ba'orer? Only in the case that we just said, when I, who said, I'm out, but then when my partner goes into my field and starts screaming, that's when we said that, since I made the kinyan, it was done. Or maybe only in the case where I initially let my partner into to my field, and now, a couple days later, I'm making a ruckus. So, my nafkamina, so what's the difference?
Well, if the halacha is like him, why should it matter?
So, what does it matter? So, the answer is, says the Gemara, look at Rav Yosef. Because Rav Yosef holds that that when he says dinu dvarim, he's not giving away the land. So what are we saying? Are we saying that we agree with him, we disagree with him, even in the case of Orer, or we would only agree with him in the case of Omid? Right? So Rav Yosef holds that when a person says Dinu Dvarim, he's not trying to give away land. So maybe we're saying in a case of Meorer, right? When he's initially protesting, oh, then Rav Yosef's right, he wasn't trying to give away the land. But when he's initially saying it's okay, and then he's being Ma'arer, then he did want to give away the land, or maybe no.
Would Rav Yosef say even then he's not giving away the land?
Right. Maybe Rav Yosef would say even then he's not giving away the land.
But Rabbi, if Michael goes and you say to Michael, I'm out,
right,
and he grows the fruits there and he makes good parnasa out of that, you're not a part of the parnasa guy, are you?
It's true.
But
if you own the land, you probably...
But the goes to Michael because you're already out.
No, but if it's still my asset, he still needs to share the profits with
me. But you said you're out, so what does the out mean?
Nothing. You've got to be careful. Contracts mean what they say.
Rabbi, doesn't talk anything about witnesses.
How about if he says something now?
Still, but that's Kanu Miyado. Kanu Miyado. He did more than witnesses. He did an acquisition also. He did a Khalipin.
So all of this has to be in front of witnesses. It can't be
It could be in front of witnesses too. It'd still be the same. So let's go further in the Mishnah. Going further in the Mishnah. Imkain. Mishnah says that if a person said, I've got no claims on your possessions, he still gets the fruit from her possessions. He still would inherit her possessions. But Imkain Lama Kasavla, in regards to what did he say, I've got no claims, that he can't stop her from selling the possessions. Ask the Gemara. The Tamale, this is really sort of the question underlying the whole Mishnah. Why can't she say, Mikomili, Salakta Nafshach? You took yourself out. So you took yourself out. You said you had no claims. That means you don't have a right to the fruits. You don't have a right to inherit either. So Amar Abaye, Abaye explained like this. Yad Baal Ashtar Ala Tachtona. When, exactly. We have a contract, right? The contract says that the husband says, I've got no claims on you, on your possessions. But now there are really three different areas that he gets normally from her possessions. He gets the fruits of her possessions, he inherits her possessions, he can stop her from selling the possessions. So we always will interpret a contract in the most narrow way. So the most narrow way is to say that what he gave up was the right to stop sale, because sales don't happen that often. How many times is a woman going to sell the property that she inherited? It's her land. So that's most not frequent, and since that's the least frequent item, that's what he's giving up on. So Gemara says, "Ve'ema mi peri." Why don't we say that fruits is most not frequent? So Amar Abaye, Abaye said, "No, no, no. If you're going to say that when he said I don't have a right, he's meaning I don't have rights to the fruits, because you say the fruits are not so much, whereas the inheritance later is going to be more. It's not true. Butzina tav mikara. Better a small melon than a big melon. In other words, better a small melon now." Then a big melon later. So when we're saying that the husband was giving up the smallest thing, it wasn't the immediate gratification, because that's better than the later gratification. Maybe he's giving up the idea of inheriting because maybe she won't die. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Misa Shchicha. Unfortunately, death happens to everybody. But it's not necessarily the case that a woman is going to sell the possessions. So therefore, when a person is taking himself out, he's taking himself out from that which is not so likely, from that which is very likely, he's not taking himself out. Rav Ashi said, the reason why we say that what he surrendered was the right to prevent the sale, but he didn't surrender his right to inherit or his right to collect the fruits, because he said, I have no claim b'nechasayich, I have no claim in your property. Therefore, v'lo b'peiro say it, but the fruit, he does have a claim. B'nechasayich, I don't have a claim in your property. V'lo li'achar misa, but after death, it's not your property anymore. So that I do have a claim to. I don't have a claim, though, to your property. When you're trying to sell, that's trying to use your property. That, in that, I don't have a claim, and that you can do. If Yehuda Omar, if Yehuda says, Lo'olam u'ochel peiro peiros, he would still be able to eat the fruits of the fruits. Tan Rabban, we lived in a brisa. Eluhein peiros, eluhein peire peiros. This is fruit, this is the fruit of the fruit. Tichnisa lo karkav, she brings in land. Vasta peiros, and the land produces fruits. Arehein peiros, that's the fruits. Machar peiros, but if he then sells the fruits, v'lachak mehen karka, and uses that to buy land, v'asta peiros, and that new land produces fruits, harei hein peire peiros. That's the fruit of the fruits.
So he has to buy a karka.
No, if he, that's the definition of peire peiros. If he said, I don't have a claim to your property and to the peiros of your property, he still would be entitled to the peire peiros. Unless he wrote, I don't have a claim to your property, your peyre peyros, ad olam, no matter how far down it goes. Ibailuhu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda says that if he really wants to, you know, be detached from anything, he should say, I don't have a claim to your property, to the peyros of your property, to the peyre peyros, ad olam. So what term is what Which term is the most meaningful? Is it peire peiro stavka? The fact that he says, I'm not going to have a claim to the fruit of your fruit. So that means he's not going to have a claim to the fruit of the fruit and not to anything else either, not to the fruit or to the fruit of the fruit of the fruit. Odilma, or maybe ad olam dafka, the main term is the term of ad olam. Odilma, or maybe tarvayu dafka. We need both terms, peire peiros and the term of ad olam. Im timtzalomar, peire peiros dafka. If you're going to say that the real main term here is peire peiros, then ad olam lamali. Why did he even say ad olam? Hakamashman, so the chiddush is, given the kasav of peire peiros, it's just to say that it's, since he wrote peire peiros, command the kasav la ad olam dami. It's as if he also said ad olam. Im timtzalomar, ad olam dafka. And if the main term here is the fact that he said forever, so peire peiros lamali, why did the Mishnah say that he has to say, I'm not going to have a claim in the fruits or the fruit of the fruits? Hakamashman lechidush is afgav the kasav la peire peiros, the kasav la ad olam in. Only if you only wrote ad olam, but he lo, but if he didn't write it, then he would have a right to the peire peiros. Im timtzalomar, tarvayu dafka. And if we say we need both, so tar talamli, why do we need both? So the answer is like this, tzricha, we need both. The kasav la, if you would tell her, I don't have rights to your possessions, that means I can't stop a sale. If he says, I don't have rights to your possessions and the fruits of your possessions, that would mean he doesn't have rights to the stopping a sale or to what grows. And if he says, I don't have rights to your possessions, to the fruits of your possessions, and to the peiros, to the fruits of the fruits, for lo kasav la ad olam, but he didn't say forever, havamina would say peiros hu delo achil, he can't get the fruits of the fruits, avol peira de peiros, but the fruit of the fruit of the fruits, achil he would be able to get. That's what you have to say forever. If you just would have said, I don't have rights to your possessions and the fruits of your possessions forever. So if you would only say, I don't have rights to your possessions, the fruits of your possessions forever, then I would have thought that what ad olam meant, I will never get anything, I'll never have a claim on your fruits, but not that what the fruits produce and comes out of them, I don't have a claim to. That's what he has to write also. Peiros. Ibailu, they had a question in the yeshiva. If a husband writes to his wife, I don't have a claim or a complaint against your possessions. Uba peire peiros, and I don't have a claim to the fruits of your possessions, but he never said anything about the fruits. Maushi yochal peiros. What about eating the fruits? Being entitled to the fruits. Mi peire peiro salik nafshe. He's taken himself out of the fruits of the fruits. But mi peire lo salik nafshe. He never took himself away from the rights of the fruits of the possessions. O dilmor, maybe mi kol mi li salik nafshe. He took himself away from everything. Answer the Gemara of Pshita. It's obvious to mi kol mi li salik nafshe. He took himself away from everything. The Amrit, because if you're going to say mi peire peiro salik nafshe, he only took himself away from the peire peiros. Mi peire lo salik nafshe. So kivin da achlinu le peiros. Once he's eating the peiros, because he's entitled to them, so peiros peiros mehecha. Where is there going to be any peiros? So Gemara says, well, it's amech. Now, according to your logic, now this went to the Mishnah, Yehuda Omer Lo'olam Uochel peiros. Kivan Da'achlinu peiros mehecha. Once he eats the fruits, how, where are there going to be peiros? Ella b'deshayra, must be from the leftovers. Sachanami here too, b'deshayra, from the leftovers.